And just want to read one verse out of Psalm 119, foundation verse for our series. 119, verse 97. David writes, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Let me read it again. "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Would you stand with me this morning and just take your Bible? I'd like you to stand and just hold your Bible in your hand if you would. I'd like you to hold it in one hand, and I'd like you to hold the other hand on top of it like this. Just like this. If you would do that, would you bow with me this morning? If you could stand, that would be great. That would be great. Father, this morning, as we take time and look into your word, and as we talk about your word, we are believing, Holy Spirit, that you will be doing a work in our life. First of all, giving us revelation, and then transforming us from where we are into where you want us to be. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, in my life, in every one of our lives, I'm asking that you would take the place of the Word of God, and would you raise it? Would you take it to a place where it has never been in our life before? And Father, I want to say thank you that you have prepared every heart and every mind under the sound of my voice, that today, during this period of time, there will be a transition that takes place. Father, before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing, that you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird. I command you to be silent and be outside the walls of this building. You will not in any way distort or confuse or block the seed that is going to be sown. And Father, I'm going to say thank you again that you are speaking and your children are hearing with clarity. I thank you today that you're going to say things during this next number of minutes that are not going to come out of my mouth, but Father, you will say them, your children will hear them, and they will know it's you, they will capture them and be obedient to it. And so, Father, this morning, change us by the power of your Spirit and through your word. We ask it believing in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody ready to be changed said, amen. Please be seated. Last week, I began sharing with you an area that the Lord has been laying upon my heart and one that we're going to be spending time with right up until Christmas. Before I began last week, I shared with you what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do a work in our life, in my life, and in your life, bringing about a change. And some of you remember that I said last week, I said for some of us, this will be a movement from the shelf to the study. For some of us, it's going to be a change from the odd time to all the time. For some of us, it's going to be a move from I have to do this to I want to do this. For some of us, the change is going to be from the casual to the committed. For others, it's going to be a mindset of the common to the sacred. And for some, it's going to be a change as great as moving from gravel to the most precious gem in our life. Last week, I asked you what I was talking about, and many of you already knew when I said when everything on earth burns up and disappears, and it's going to, this is going to be the only thing that remains. And what is that again? The Word of God. The Word of God. Last week, in laying a foundation for the rest of the messages to come, I shared with you a number of things that the Holy Spirit has used in my life in order to bring me to a place where I'm beginning to be able to say like David, God, I love your word. I love your word. Can I ask how many of you were here last week? How many of you are here for the message? Yeah? If you weren't here, I want to encourage you to go online. It's been posted. I'd like you to go online, listen to it. It lays a foundation of where we're going to be going the next number of weeks. But this morning, I'd like you to open up your Bible, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. We'll shoot it up on the screen if you don't have a Bible, but if you have your Bible, I'd like you to take it. I'd like you to look at it. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have read the book of Ezekiel in the last year that's been part of your Bible reading? Just raise your hand. Yep, about a handful of us. Remember I said last week, God is still speaking through the Old Testament. Do you remember that? He is. I encourage you to be reading that. Ezekiel chapter 44, and I want to read it out of my Bible. I want to set my eyes on it. Ezekiel 44 is a chapter that talks about all of the priests and the Levites and all of their duties with the temple and their sacrifices and the clothing and the whole deal. But tucked in the middle of it is one little verse that I would like to read today in verse 23. And it says this, the priests, speaking about the priests, verse 23, they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and to show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. Let me read that first part again. They are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. I want to tell you right up front where I'm going, and I want to tell you how we're going to get there. This morning, the Holy Spirit is going to, I'm praying the Holy Spirit uses me to expose a subtle design of the enemy that has been powerfully and effectively at work, not just in the world, but in the church. To talk about, or for the enemy to take what is meant to be holy and slowly and subtly slip it into a place where it becomes commonplace in our life. And then, when we see his design, and Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, we are not, as believers, to be ignorant of how the enemy works. When we see his design, to invite Holy Spirit to empower us to first of all repent. And I'll tell you, at the end of today, there is going to be a time of repentance. I want you to know that up front. Begin with repentance. And all repentance is stop moving in the direction I've been, to stop, to turn around, and go in the direction that I'm supposed to be, and to bring back into our life the distinction between what is common and what is meant to be holy. And more importantly, to identify what God has said is to be holy, to make it holy, and then keep it holy in our life. I want to ask you, those of you who have Bibles, if you have a real tangible Bible, would you just hold it up? Hold your Bible up this morning. Okay, I want you to go to the front of your Bible, and for some of you, it's going to be on the outside of the Bible. I want you to tell me what is written on the outside of your Bible. How is it identified? Just speak it out. How many of you have Holy Bible on the outside of your Bible? How many of you have Holy Bible? How many of you just have Bible? It says in there, just Bible. Okay, what you're telling me is really interesting. Do you know that the Bibles that were printed some time ago, they all still have Holy Bible on the front? If you look at a pile of the Bibles that are printed and being sold now, all they have on it is Bible, or Study Bible, or New International Bible. The newer Bibles have dropped the word holy from the Bible. I had to look inside on mine because my cover doesn't have it, but I looked in here, and this Bible was given to Malachi. I stole it in Jesus' name. I did that. 2002, this Bible was given to him, and I took it because I love the translation and the way it used, but in 2002, on the inside, it says, the Holy Bible. I was excited about that. Let me ask you, though, And I want to ask you this, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't. But I want to ask you, when you think about your Bible, when you think about it, when you go and get your Bible for devotion, or you take your Bible in your reading at breakfast or at bedtime, you go and get it, or you grab your Bible when you're going to women's study, or you're going to men's group, or you grab your Bible on the way to the church, because it's possible at church that your pastor might ask you to open it and find a verse. That is possible, right? So you go, just in case he does, I better have my Bible. But I want to ask you, in your thinking, and I want you to answer honestly, not out loud, how many of you think, I need to go get my Bible? Or how many of you think, I need to go get my Holy Bible? Let me say it again. In your thinking, how many of you think, I got to go get my Bible? Or how many of you think, I got to go get my Holy Bible? Don't raise your hand. Let me ask you a question. Where does the shift take place? Moving something from being holy and becoming common, taking place in our life. Where does that shift happen? I will tell you where it begins happening. It begins happening in our thinking. It begins in our thought. And when our thinking about something changes, when it goes on the inside and the change happens up here, then all of a sudden the way we begin doing things on the outside and the way we manifest begins changing on the outside. When this changes, this changes. I want to tell you what you already know. The devil hates God. Would you agree? The devil hates him. From the moment of the fall in heaven, when Lucifer rebelled and went down, and we know all that whole story. From the moment that happened, there was a hatred that existed from the devil to God, and everything having to do with God, the devil hated it. And let me tell you what Jesus said and made pretty clear when he was here on earth. He made this statement. He said to the disciples, he hates me. He's going to hate you. Now, they should tell people that just before they pray for them to receive Christ. Just want you to know, when you get saved and you receive Christ, there is going to be an enemy that hates you that is going to be coming after you. I think they should tell every brand new believer that. Instead of saying, when you get saved, the abundant life is coming and everything's going to turn good. And then when we start getting hammered, it's like, why didn't they tell me? I wasn't even prepared. But I want you to think about this. If the enemy hates God, do you think the enemy hates the Word of God? I want you to go with me here. I want you to think about this. If the enemy can't destroy the Word, and he's tried, and he's continuing to destroy the Word, he's trying. He's going to try right up until Christ comes back. His goal has been to destroy the Word in the old, in the new. It's happening today. He's trying. I want to tell you, some people say, how do you know there's a God? Well, I'll tell you two things. The nation of Israel and the fact that the Word of God is still intact. That's how I know there's a God. The enemy has been trying to destroy that Word, let me tell you. And if the enemy can't distort the Word, and he's tried to distort it, he's done it, and he's continuing to do it, I could have brought up to you 15 Bibles today that have been totally perverted, totally changed, the wording totally undone, this word perverted. Let me say this. If the enemy can't cause a person to not believe at all, and have them come to a place in the world where faith isn't a part of it and the Word's not a part of their world, and all we have to do is walk outside the door and ask somebody on the street driving by and go, can I ask you, what place does the Word of God have in your life? And the majority of them go, what are you talking about? This is 2024, but the Word has no part. You'll remember when I shared with you, sitting down at the bank in Camrose here, I won't tell you which one, in front of a 30-some-year-old lady, and as I began sharing the brochure and the message in January, She stopped me after 2 hours and she went, no one has ever told me that. She goes, I've never had a Bible. I've never read the Bible. I've never heard about the Bible. This lady is university educated. This lady is a professional in her career. This lady is in 2024. And she's sitting in front of me going, I have no knowledge about the Bible. And I was excited to say to her, are you open if I bring you one? And she said, would you? Please. And before she went on maternity leave, I went back in the bank and I handed her a book and I had a hard time believing. This isn't Africa. This is Camrose. But if the enemy can't cause a person to not believe and have the word be no part of their life, his goal is for those who believe and still have the Bible as part of their life to move from the place of holiness and reverence to a place of common and almost indifference. Not by deliberate choice, not by action. I don't think there's ever been a person who woke up in the morning and said, you know, I'm going to start ignoring the Bible. I don't think any person chose that. I don't think they ever woke up and said, you know what? I'm going to stop having devotions. I don't want to have devotions anymore. They didn't wake up and say it. It just began happening. And all of a sudden, a week later, they go by, they didn't read the word. All of a sudden, a month goes by, they weren't in the word. All of a sudden, a year goes by, and they go, holy smoke. And pretty soon, they stop thinking about it. I need this morning to give you some pictures. And I'm asking Holy Spirit to do something on the inside. I'll tell you, I have been praying about this morning. I'm asking you to grasp something in the Spirit that I don't have the ability to impart to you. But I'm going to give you what God gave me, and I'm trusting Holy Spirit to give you what it's going to take in order to awaken something and take us all to a different place. I'm telling you straight up, that is my prayer. I need to plant a couple pictures. Exodus chapter 19, verse 23. I don't need you to look it up. If you would just write down that verse so that later on, when you look at your notes, you can just attach it and go back and read it. Exodus 19:23. Mount Sinai. How many of you have been to Mount Sinai? How many of you have been there? Yep, some of us have. How many of you climbed to the top of it and saw the sunrise? Almost the same group. We went out there 3:30 in the morning, climbed to the top of Mount Sinai, saw the rise happen. That is where I was bit by a camel. That was more important to me than Mount Sinai. But anyway, we digress. Mount Sinai. After, I do complain about your dog. That's right. Your dog is like that camel. Mount Sinai. When God led the people out of his people out of Egypt, they went across the Red Sea. They ended up at Mount Sinai. You know this. God called Moses to come up with the mountain. He went up there 40 days. He was with God. He came down again. He brought the two tablets. But I want you to understand this. This was God's instruction. He said, Moses, tell the people. Here's verse 12. He said, tell the people, be careful that you do not go up the mountain to touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Let me say it again. Tell the people, don't go up to the mountain. Don't put your foot on it. Whoever touches it will be put to death. Let me ask you why. Let me tell you what you already know. God's presence on the mountain made that mountain holy. And for someone in their sin to touch what is holy means death. I got to just ask you today, in our day, in our world, we don't even think that way. We don't even grasp that. There is not even a concept of death being attached to holy, and it's not even there. And I got to tell you, even in the church, it's not there. For someone in their sin to touch what is holy means death. Can I tell you what this was about? God began developing inside of his people the Grand Canyon between common and holy. Go with me. He continued to do that. God continued to do that by giving Moses instruction with the tabernacle. We know the tabernacle had the outer courtyard, had the holy place, had the Holy of Holies, which housed the Ark of the Covenant. All the regulations about how all that was to work. What was he doing? Building inside of people, in their thinking, in their belief, in their life, not only an awareness of the holy, but a reverence and respect for a holy God. Without the holy, there is no consciousness and reverence for what makes it holy, for who makes it holy. And the consequence of not honoring that was life. Let me give you the famous account. We all know it. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 6. Just write that down again. Don't look it up. 2 Samuel 5 and 6. David becomes king. Saul dies. All of his sons die. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. David becomes king. He is wanting to go get the Ark and bring it back to Jerusalem. How many of you remember the account? How many of you remember it? Yeah, we learned it in Sunday school. We read it how many times? Can I just ask you this trivia? How many people did David take with him to go and get the Ark? Ark isn't that big, right? I mean, some of us have seen them, not that big. How many men did he take with him to go get the Ark? Anybody know? Anybody want to guess? 500? The auctioneer is happening inside of me. That number is going up. 300? It's got to be a little more than 500. I'll just help you. 30,000. So David just gathered a small group of people. They went into the Philistine camp. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They were bringing it back. 30,000 men. They go get the Ark. They put it on a cart. They're bringing it back. We know the story. On the way back, one of the ox stumbles. I got to tell you, the other day, and I shared this with some, I was driving down the road, and it was nighttime, and just the Holy Spirit twigged in me and said, Colin, just pray for protection on the road. And so I took authority. I said, angels, you go. You just keep me safe and protect. 1 minute later, four elk right across the road. One was going down. One was going across. I'm coming up like this. The one goes right in front of me. Another one comes out of the ditch, hits the side of the road right beside me, stumbles and falls on a road. Can I tell you, elk don't stumble. That sucker stumbled. He rolled onto the concrete beside me, got up. I drove by. He runs the other way. It was awesome. I just had to say, thank you, Lord. But the ox is pulling the cart. They're bringing it back. The ox hits something, stumbles, and the ark on the cart does what? It stumbled. It jerks. It begins. It looks like it's fallen off. Who is the name of the guy? You got to know this. Who reached out and grabbed the ark? Uzzah. That's right. U-Z-Z-A. Uzzah. He's standing right there. He reaches out. He grabs the ark in order to keep it from falling. The moment he touches the ark, what happens to him? He dies. It's quite the story. I find this interesting. Why did Uzzah die? Let me tell you. A sinful hand touched a holy Ark of the Covenant. David was angry. I love this part. Abandoned his journey, stuck the ark in Obed-Edom's home. While it was there, 3 months it was there. While the ark was in Obed-Edom's home, Obed-Edom's family, his life, his animals, in 3 months he experienced a blessing from God because the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God was in his home. David heard about it in Jerusalem. When David heard about the blessing, guess what David did? I'm going to get that ark. I'm over my anger. God, I forgive you. Yeah, right. He goes back over there. They get the ark. They do it the proper way. They put the poles through it. They carry it back to Jerusalem. Can I tell you what's really cool? This is just on the side. Obed-Edom. If you ever get a chance to do a study of Obed-Edom, because I'll tell you what Obed-Edom did. When the ark left Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom left his house. Obed-Edom followed the ark. Obed-Edom went to the temple, tabernacle. Obed-Edom said, doesn't matter what you give me, I will wash floors, I will do the toilets, I will wash dishes, I don't care what it is, I want to be where the ark is. Obed-Edom lived his life at the temple with the ark for the rest of his life. You want to talk about being impacted by the holy? I'm not going to go through all of the things that talk about the holiness and how God developed an awareness of holiness. But let me tell you this. You know this. In the Old Testament, there was food that became holy and it needed to be treated as such. it moved from common to holy. There were dishes that were taken, and they moved from being common to be made holy. And if there was a holy dish, it was no longer common, and it was treated totally different. Let me tell you this. There were lampstands, there were tables, there were bowls, there were altars that became and were made holy, and after that, they were treated totally separate than anything like that that was common. This is one of my favorite. Do you know that there were clothes that were made holy? And let me just tell you, I'm glad it doesn't happen today, but when the priest went in, can you imagine me as a pastor coming in every Sunday, I put on a certain set of clothes, I come and I preach and do the ministry, and after I leave, I go back in there, take off those clothes, and I walk out. Because the Bible said this, priest, you got to take off your garments, take off your clothes before you go into public, because if you're wearing your holy clothes and it begins touching people, it's going to release consecration, and I don't want that to happen. Can I ask you a question? Are we at a place where we even think about the possibility that touching clothes that are holy could have an effect in our life? The concept of holiness is so far removed from our daily life and items around us. It has been reduced. And God is wanting to bring that back again. I want to give you three areas that not only did the people of Israel allow the enemy to move them from holy to common, but these are areas the enemy is doing today. And I want to give them to you. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to speak. I want to say this. If any of you get offended, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want a letter. I don't want an email. I don't want you to come talk to me, because I recognize that some of you might get offended by what I'm going to share with you this morning. So I already know. So you don't have to tell me, because I already know, okay? Would you agree with me? Good. We will not go talk to Pastor Call if we get offended. We'll just forgive and move on if you need to. I want to give you three areas that the enemy affected them, and the enemy is doing the same thing today. I want to ask you a question. How many of you could stand up and tell me the Ten Commandments off by heart? And if I asked you, you could do it. Just stand up. If you know all Ten Commandments off by heart, you don't have to look at it. You could just recite them, number one down to 10. Just stand up if you know them. All 10. Stand up. All in order. Word for word, out of the Bible, word for word. Who is your pastor? I seem to be saying that a lot lately, don't I? I'm going to talk to him when I get home. Maybe I'll talk to his wife when I get home. Can I ask you this? Who knows what the fourth commandment is, and who can stand up and tell me the fourth? Who knows? Oh, Jesus, let's close in prayer. What is it, babe? No. That's number five, but that's a good try, babe. That would be it. You want to keep going down the other nine, or you're good? Yeah, you do. Number four, that's what it is. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let me tell you what God told his people about the Sabbath day. Can I tell you? Just write this down, Ezekiel 35, verse 2. Don't look it up now. Ezekiel 35, verse 2. It says this, for 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Look at this. Whoever does any work on it must be put to death. Can I just ask you a question? Are any of you in here, would you be dead if this scripture was still happening today? Would any of you be dead? I think we'd all be dead. Can I ask you, why did God command the people to keep the Sabbath holy? Why was it a command? And we've talked about this before. I'll let you know. There's a pile of people out there teaching the Ten Commandments have no validity anymore. The new commandment has taken over. The two of them, the Ten Commandments. I'm not into that. Jesus didn't come to abolish. He came to fulfill. But I want to ask you, why did God command his people to keep the Sabbath holy? And can I say this? Not only was it to be a day of rest. And can I say, do we still need a day of rest after 6 days of work? You bet we do. But it was a day to keep God in the right position of your life. Every 7 days, people were put back in right relationship with God. It was a holy day as unto the Lord. And can I ask you an obvious question? Did the enemy in the Old Testament successfully move the people of God into taking what was meant to be holy the Sabbath day and letting it fall into the category of the common? Did the enemy do it? You bet he did. And spiritually, the consequences were huge, incredibly huge. Can I ask you, has the enemy done the same in our day? And let me just move it a little bit tighter. Don't get ticked off at me. I'm just asking a question. Has the enemy been able to do that in your life as well? Take what was meant to be sacred and holy and slowly move and seduce you into the common? I want to ask you this. How many of you remember when everything was closed on Sunday? Everything was closed. How many of you remember? Everything was closed on Sunday. Gas stations were closed. Grocery stores were closed. Hardware stores were closed. Oh, let me, I don't want to poke the bear. Restaurants were closed. I talked to someone some time ago and they said, the reason we're open on Sundays, the church is what supports us. After church, everybody comes to the restaurant. That's the reason why we're open Sunday. I went, are you serious? That was supposed to be the day of rest. The day set aside for God. The day that was holy. And it was really interesting that our government for a long period of time honored that, and society honored that, separated from every other day. But we all have watched as the enemy has slowly and subtly took what was holy and moved it to the common. I could tell you about West Edmonton Mall and how the Iranian spirit changed that whole thing in Edmonton and made Sunday opening mandatory. Where now for the rest of the world, it's no different than any other day. And for most Christians, even those who go to church still, the holiness is gone. Let me tell you what you know. 50% of all retail sales happen on Sunday. 50% of all retail sales happen on Sunday. The holiness is gone. The convenience of shopping, eating out, working if there's work to do, is commonplace. Let me ask you a question. What happened to the holiness? What happened to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Let me give you another one. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Are you familiar with that verse? What God has joined together. Hebrews 13, 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. Is that familiar to you? Okay, Hebrews 13, 4. Let me read this one, an interesting translation. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that each of you should learn to gain a wife in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen. First Thessalonians 4:3. Let me ask you a question. In God's eyes, in spite of what has been going on in the world, is marriage between husband and wife a holy union? Just raise your hand if you believe it is. A holy union. Yes. Is that union to take place in the context of marriage? The union of man coming together physically, sexually with woman, is that union meant to take place in the context of marriage? How many of you believe that? Can I ask you a question? Did the Israelites lose the holiness of the marriage union and turn the sexual union into a common event? did. I don't even need to ask you what has happened today, but I do want to tell you, outside the church, I understand why they do what they do. God is not in their life. There is no reverence. There is no holiness. There is nothing for the Word of God. I understand that. But in the church, should it be different? When the holiness disappears, it becomes common. And all of a sudden, sex outside of marriage, it's just common in the church. In the world, I understand why people are living together before marriage. I do. No consciousness of God, the Word of God. I understand that. But in the church, I'm going to ask you a question. This is not going to be popular. For those of you raising your children, for those of us who raised our children, how many people in their lifetime are they meant to have sexual union with? How many people? One. Is that politically correct? God's intent is for you and I, when we grow up, to grow up in holiness, we are to meet our spouse, get married as virgins, come together with one person, and have that last our entire life unless our spouse dies, and then we're free to get married again. One person. Can I tell you how one person only works? When there's holiness attached to it. Years ago, when there was like a kind of mini revival that took place at Augustana, and we had over 100 Augustana students that were coming to our church, and we met with them, and Jane and I were doing ministry and delivery. We sat down with some of those young people who had slept with over 100 people, and they weren't even 20 years old yet. What happened to the holiness? What happened to the holiness of marriage? I'll tell you what happened. Subtly, and it moved right into the church, where what was common became acceptable. Let's go back for a second to what we're talking about in this series. The Word of God, the Holy Bible. First of all, what is it that makes the Word of God holy? What is it that makes this holy? Why is this holy? God? That's right. It's holy because God is holy, and when God is holy, everything He touches becomes holy, and when God is holy, whatever He speaks is holy. And for those of us who believe that this is the Word of God spoken and then written, it is holy because God is holy and this is His Word. That's why it's holy. That's the reason. Unlike any other word that has ever been spoken or written in all of eternity, this book is set apart. Do you know, and I don't want you to raise your hand, do you know there was a time when the Word of God was read that people stood? Do you know that? I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want to ask you a question. When I asked you to take the Bible today, and we turned to Psalm 119, and I went to verse 97, did it cross anybody's mind in here that the Word of God is going to be spoken out loud now? I need to stand in reverence and holiness of the Word. Did it cross anybody's mind to stand? Don't answer me. But the question I want to ask you is why? For years and generations and hundreds of years, when the Word of God was brought and opened up in the Old Testament, they stood in churches. They stood. Why? Because it's a command? Because we have to? Because it's law? No. Do you know why? Because they're touching holiness. This is God's Word, and I'm going to stand in reverence to God's Word. How did we get to a point where we don't even think about? How many of you ever heard of the Qumran Caves? How many of you ever heard of them? Qumran Caves. Yeah, in Israel, some of us have been there. We toured them. the group of people called the Essenes that lived there. They were the ones who lived in the caves. They're the ones who wrote out the Word of God by hand. They're the ones who put them into clay jars. They put them in the caves. Back in 1946, they discovered them. A shepherd boy went in, discovered them. They found the books of the Bible, Old Testament, all of Isaiah. Like, it's incredible what they found in there. And I think it was attached to the nation of Israel being formed. I do. I think the timing was, we don't get into that. But I don't know if you knew this. When the Essenes were taking the Word of God and they were writing it, as they were writing it out by hand, when they got to the name of God, there was a lot of names. When they got to the name of God, the Essenes pulled back. They went over to a basin. They washed their hands. They came back over here. They wrote the name of God. They got up. They went back to the basin. They washed their hands again. And then they went back again. And they continued writing until they got to another name of God. And they did it again. Can I ask you a question? Why did they do that? Let me tell you why. And it's written why. Because the Essene people believed that they were handling something sacred, something holy, something of God. They believed in the holiness of this. And when they got to that point, they believed the name of God was so holy, they couldn't even write it if their hands were unclean. They couldn't even write unless their hands were unclean. How did the world and the church move from the place of Scripture and the holiness to the point where it's so common that we treat it like another book? Do you know there was a time when the Word of God was the foundation of all the laws in the highest courts of our land? Do you know there was a time? Do you know that? And let me just tell you, that was in our lifetime, many of our lifetime, it was still there. In the short period of our life, it has moved from here to the place where it has no place in the court anymore. Even when you're a witness, you no longer have to put your hand on the Bible. That's our highest court. Do you know there was a time when the Ten Commandments hung on every wall of every school and the Bible was read every morning? How many of you remember going to school when the Ten Commandments were hanging on the wall? We're dinosaurs. And yet, from that period of time until now, do you think you can find a Ten Commandment on a wall of any school other than a Christian private? What happened? Do you know that all of the first universities in the United States were founded on the Word of God? Princeton, Harvard, Yale, all of them. In fact, their statement was this: there is no true knowledge without the Word of God. That's how they were founded. Do you know that the Word of God was once holy to the Jewish people, and slowly it became commonplace and it lost its place in their culture? Do you know that? And do you know that the Word of God was once holy in our society? And slowly it became common and it lost its place. And do you know that the devil, the design of the enemy is to take the Word of God, which he knows is holy because it is God's Word and he's holy. And his design, number one, is to make it common where it no longer has a holy place in our life. And he's done a darn good job. Let me tell you. But he can only do it if we let him. Can I say it again? He can only do it if we let him. Filled with the Spirit of God, you and I have been given the power to keep holy what is meant to be holy. Whether it's a Sabbath and everybody else out there is breaking the sucker because it's come like another day, doesn't mean you and I, with holiness in us, has to make it holy. I mean, common. Do you know, with the power of God inside of us, every other person out there can be immoral. Every other person can be sleeping with whoever, whether they're married or not married. Do you know, with the power of God, we can keep that holy? I gotta tell you, there are still young men and women going to the altar today who are pure. with Holy Spirit, with His help, when everyone else has allowed the Word of God to become commonplace and little or no place in their life, you and I can keep it holy and keep it in the place where God intended it to be. This is the Word of God we're talking about, church. Not just any word, not just a man's word. This is God's word, a holy God's word, unlike any other words that have ever been spoken or will ever be spoken. Can I read something to you that has never been written about any other words that were written? Let me tell you, the Word of God is living and active. Do you know of any other word out there that has that description? Living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Oh, I love this one. Discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Give me another word out there that has that description in it. It's holy. Why? Because God is holy. His words are holy. And it is not until our thinking moves His word back from common to holy that the word will have its place in our life. The last thing the enemy wants is for this Bible to become a holy Bible in my life. It's the last thing. Because do you know what he knows? If I make that Bible holy and first place in my life, I'm not going to be ignorant of his design, and I will be changed, and I will become like God intended me to be, and I will have authority over the devil because that word tells me and empowers me to have authority. No wonder he doesn't want me to see it as holy. In a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. And then we're going to go into communion. Dana, if I could have you come. Let me tell you why we're having communion at the end of today. Do you know that communion used to be called Holy Communion? Holy Communion. Why? Because there were those who truly believed Jesus' words when he gave communion his disciples, where he said, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do so in remembrance," not in the Catholic way where that bread literally turns into his body, and if I drop it, I'm dropping the body of Christ, or the wine turns into his blood, and if I spill it, oh my God, this is sacrilegious, and I'm spilling the blood of Jesus. No, that is such religion. That is such bondage. It is by faith we receive the bread as his body and the juice as his wine, and we become one with him spiritually, not physically. Can I tell you what Paul said? Already in the New Testament, how many years after Jesus, the Apostle Paul was already warning people that they were taking communion in an unholy manner, and as a result of that, they were getting sick and dying. They were treating the holy as though it was common. Let me tell you, that is still what the enemy is seeking to do in our day, and until the return of Christ, take something that is holy and turn it into the common. But let me tell you, it only happens if we let him. With Holy Spirit, Holy Communion can be holy because I'm taking it by faith. Let me finish with where we began. In the Old Testament, it was the priest's job in Ezekiel 44:23 to teach the people the difference between the holy and the common. I want to tell you my prayer. My prayer was today, with what the Lord gave me and with what I shared with you, my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit did something inside of you to move this from the common back to the holy. For some of you, he may have spoken to you about the Sabbath and keep it holy. I don't know. For some of you, he may have spoken to you about marriage and the sanctity of marriage and sex in the union of marriage and no longer, I don't know. But my prayer today is with what God spoke through me and with what God was speaking to you directly, that this word has moved to a different place. It's not just a Bible. This is a holy Bible. Dana, can I have you play quietly? Would you bow with me for just a moment? You heard me say this morning so many times, I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to reveal outwardly what's going on inwardly. Nobody else needs to see that other than the Lord. But this morning I'm believing what the Lord said to me, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. He said, Colin, this morning I'm going to do a work in the lives of those who have ears to hear. And I'm believing that's all. I can't say, but I'm believing that's all. He said, I'm going to do a work in those who have ears to hear, and I am going to release a fresh grace, a fresh anointing for the Word of God in their life to move from being common, being casual, being hit and miss, being like every other, being something I read on the toilet when I have 2 minutes, moving it back into the place of the holy, of the set apart, of the sacred. When I read through the Old Testament, I used to be pretty judgmental looking, going, how could those Israelites do it? Can I tell you? As time went on, I was reading about me. I forgot. I slipped. I let the Sabbath become common. But their father is saying in these days, when the enemy is at work perverting the word, the enemy is at work bringing deception into the church, I am raising up a people who have inside of them a revelation of the holiness of my word. People who would rather not eat than miss time in the word. But the Lord said it begins. It begins with repentance. I'm not asking to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than between you and the Lord. He is the only one who knows where the word has been in your life, the place it's been. For some of you, it's not even a part of your daily life. It has just become so common. More time on TV, computer, reading a book than the Word of God. It has become so common, so lifeless, it's not even there. God said, I can change that in a moment. I don't know where you're at. But right now, if you know that the enemy has subtly done his work in your life and you have slipped in this area, it has lost. God is just saying, I just want you to repent. I just want you to come to me and say, God, I'm sorry. And ask him to forgive you. And ask him to plant inside of you again a revelation of the Word of God, a revelation of its holiness, a revelation that this is God's own Word. Maybe even to the place when you think about the Bible, you think holy Bible. Maybe even to the place when the Word of God is going to be read out loud. It doesn't matter if you're the only person standing in the auditorium. You stand. I don't know. But you and God do. So I'm going to invite you to take a quiet moment between you and the Lord. Father, we are not ignorant of the enemy's design. He has been doing it for 6,000 years. Because of his hatred for you, in every area, he has been seeking to take that which is holy and of you, God, and turning it into the common. I thank you that you have spoken. I thank you that you have revealed the design of the enemy. And I thank you that you are speaking into our life, showing us the areas where he has had his way, and today stopping it, turning around, and by your power, no longer common, but holy. I release a grace, Father, over every person under the sound of my voice. I release a grace this morning that by the power of your Spirit, a revelation would come. We would begin to see the Word like never before, think about the Word as never before, honor it and revere it like never before. Plant it deep within our heart, not just dabble, but plant it deep, to eat it, to drink it. I declare in every one of our lives, the place of the Word has changed this morning because of you, Father, because of you. And Father, this morning as we prepare to receive the body and blood of our Lord, we want to acknowledge that the enemy has done his work in this area too. We want to acknowledge that we have, without even thinking, without even knowing, we have just moved to a point where we have just allowed going through the motions, that we've moved the taking of your body and blood into the place of the common as compared to the holiness that you meant it to be. And so, Father, we first want to ask your forgiveness. Forgive us for being subtly deceived. Forgive us for allowing it to become common and just going through the motion without the holiness of it. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, before we receive, that you'd awaken inside of us what it is that Jesus meant, what he said. When he told his disciples and those who believed, he said, "This is my body. Eat this bread. This is my body broken for you." Father, let us grasp that. And Jesus, when you took the cup and you blessed it and you gave it, you said, "This is my blood, the new covenant of my blood. Drink it. Take me in you." Father, give us revelation of the holiness in that. Whatever you touch becomes holy. Father, no wonder Jesus wanted us to touch you through his body and blood, because you are the one who makes us holy. And give us revelation of that holiness as well, Lord. I invite you this morning to take a quiet moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you concerning the body and blood of our Lord. I invite you to prepare your hearts and your minds as you come. Those who are helping to serve, if you would come forward this time. Worship team, if you would also come. This morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and partake in holy communion. Receiving the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed to make you holy. Come now, for all is ready. Would you grab your Bible with you this morning? I would like you to hold it as I release the blessing over you today. We are believing for the Holy Spirit to do a work in our life of bringing the Word of God back to that place of reverence, holiness, first place. As a child of God today, I declare over you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and today fill you full of His peace and a love and a reverence for His word. Holy, because He is holy. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving the blessing said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.